Morning, church. It's good to be back home with you this week after being gone last week. It was about 8:30 last night. Kimberly and I were talking with each other. We're in our room, then we looked around, and we realized that we're done. What I mean is, like, we didn't have anything to do. We didn't have nothing left. We didn't have anything on our to-do list. It's only 8:30. You know, I'm used to it being like 1, and then I don't have anything else to do. And, you know, we had done everything from our clothes were laid out. The kids were doing whatever the kids do. We had cleaned the shower because we just had so much time. We cleaned the bathroom. We were ready for bed at like 8:30 or 9. It was a beautiful thing. Does anybody else have one of those moments here in the last? Nobody? Yeah. You see how hard it is to get one of them moments. We got this ready to go, Jaheim. If you're visiting with us, we've been in this series on worship, and we've been doing this for a couple of months now. We're going to do it for a couple of more months, trying to get our minds set on what is worship. How are we supposed to deal with worship? What should our mindset be during worship? And I brought this up about what happened to us last night because this caused Kimberly and I to have this conversation about the last time we remember it being a Saturday night and it being 8:30 and us not having anything to do. And the nearest time we can remember was when we were 8 and 9 years old on a Saturday night. I'm serious. That's the soonest I can remember when it was. And so we started talking about, you know, what we did as kids. And probably a lot of you remember Saturday nights used to be a lot different. I don't know. They used to be a lot different 20 years ago than they were. You know, I found this picture. None of my stuff ever works. Hold on. Yep. So obviously this isn't me, because, you know, this is not Leave It to Beaver. But when Kimberly was talking about when she was a child on Saturday nights, you know, the kids would be bathed and everything would be fine, and she would sit in her living room with her parents and her brother, and they watched the Grand Ole Opry, and as they watched Hee Haw. Some of you don't know what Hee Haw is. See me afterwards. We'll discuss. They would watch Austin City Limits while her mother would curl her hair for Sunday morning. You know, it was a big deal. When I was a kid, we were allowed on Friday nights to stay up till 10. You know, during the week we had to go to bed at 9. But on Friday night, when you're 8 and 9 years old, we could go to bed at 10. But on Saturday night, I had to go to bed at 9:30. Now, I didn't really understand that, why I had to, you know, lose 30 minutes of my free time. But to my mother and father, Saturday nights were important because it was kind of a preparation for Sunday. Some of you are nodding your head like you remember this same kind of thing. I had to have my clothes laid out by 8 o'clock. And I say laid out, I mean I had to take them out of my closet and make sure they weren't dirty and then put them at the end of my bed and get them ugly shoes that we hated to wear when we were 8 and 9 years old and get my Sunday socks and put them on. And I had to make sure, you know, if you're kids and you weren't bathing, you had to make sure you bathed on Saturday night. Not that I didn't, but you kind of get the point. So we had to bathe. My dad would always say, you know, have you washed your face and combed your hair? You know, you got to have everything done. From 8:30 to 9:30 on Saturday nights, as we would sit and do whatever it is we do, we didn't have internet back then. We didn't have telephone, well, portable telephones that weren't on 100-foot cords back then. We would just kind of sit, and I had to watch whatever my parents watched. And back then, you know, some of us have TVs that only had, what, 3 or 4 channels? Like 8, 9, and 10, or 2, 4, and 5, whatever it was. Some of us didn't even have Fox. You know, we just kind of watched that. And I still have this sound in my head for an hour, from 8:30 to 9:30, and the sound would go for an hour. It was my father shining his shoes on Saturday night. He'd sit over there on the hearth, just, and it, you know, it happened my whole childhood. So now my, you know, I hear that sound now, and it's, you know, my brain reverts, you know, you know, you start to just, you know, see it in your head. These are these childhood memories. Here's why I bring all this up. I don't think we should all try to go back to Leave It to Beaver time. I'm not suggesting that. I like the time we live in, okay? I like the medical advances we have. I like what we can do to cancer and AIDS now that we couldn't do 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I like that I can have air conditioning in any room of the house I want. not just in whatever window unit it is. I like that I can go wherever I want or buy something and get it whenever I want. But here's what I don't like. What I don't like is that we have crowded so much into our life that nothing is really important anymore. On Saturday nights, when I was a kid, it used to be that there was this calming time because my parents felt that Sunday morning was important. And that Sunday morning, to prepare for it, that's important. In fact, it's so important that we didn't want to allow anything else. This morning, in talking about our worship, I want to talk about a principle we don't talk about much in the Church of Christ. In fact, I don't think we talk about it much in the church at all. And it's a principle that God really started when he created the earth, and it continued even in the time of the Ten Commandments. It's this idea of rest. When's the last time you had time to rest? Maybe some of you have a lot of time to rest. But when's the last time you truly rested? That you didn't have a worry, or you didn't have anxiety, you didn't have some kind of thought process about what you had to do or something else you had to do. When's the last time you took an inventory and you thought to yourself, I have nothing to do? And then how many of you, when you arrived at that moment, thought, let me fill that time with something to do? This morning, I want to talk about this because I think we have lost it. And I think, unfortunately, the idea of rest is so far gone from our vocabulary and theology and church practice. There's no wonder we find ourselves just in fits all the time because we're not resting. And I wonder if that has something to do with how we do church. I want to point to a certain text, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to go back to that Amos text that Ronnie read just a while ago. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, this is one of the most important lines of the whole Old Testament. That's what Israel thought. It's so important they give it its own name. It's called the Shema. And that's the first word in there says, hear, in Hebrew, that's Shema. So that's why they call it the Shema. They don't have much imagination. You know, you call the prayer by the first name, that's it. So look at this first line. Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In fact, literally, it's the Lord, Yahweh, God, Yahweh, one. I want to look at that last word, one. Here's what this means. God is unique, God is consistent, God is united, God is not divided, God has one thing on his mind. I want y'all to think about the places y'all work or the places you used to work. Can anybody in here say that the people they worked for could actually stay on task, that they actually had an agenda at all times? Does anybody kind of feel like you work for people who have no agenda whatsoever? How many of you go into a meeting, you leave the meeting, and you got nothing done that you were supposed to get done in the meeting? How many of you go into meetings with no agenda whatsoever? How many of you almost every day feel as if you're losing time that you will never get back in your life? And I think the reason is because we're fitting so much into it. In the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, there's this second part to it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. If God is this united, consistent thing, then I think we all ought to start taking time to be united and consistent. I think we ought to give some time to the idea of this Sabbath, because Sabbath really is an important part of the Bible. It's not some important part that we don't do anymore. It's actually an important part that we all need to think about. God had something in mind when he wanted to talk about the Sabbath. God wanted us all not to take a break from work, not to celebrate Memorial Day every week. What he wants us to do is to realize that we don't have to fill our time with every little thing. I want to share with you a story. There's an Old Testament scholar. His name is Walter Brueggemann. You don't have to learn how to spell that to go to heaven. But Walter Brueggemann tells this story that I wanted to share with you. Brueggemann said that he lived, when he was a child, they lived in a small town, and they went to a small church. And he said every Sunday, the town grocer, that's the guy who runs the grocery shop in case there's any millennials, the town grocer and his wife sat towards the front of the congregation every Sunday. And Brueggemann says every Sunday at exactly the same time, usually when there was about 5 minutes left in the sermon, the grocer and his wife would stand up. They would carefully move to the end of the pew, and they would walk down the aisle to the back of the church out the door every Sunday. And he said the reason was that the Lutheran church across town, well, they finished their services 15 minutes earlier than Brueggemann's church. And the grocer left early so that he could get his store open in time to serve the Lutherans. He said even as a child, Brueggemann wondered how the grocer could possibly have worshipped God with all his heart, soul, and mind with one eye on the clock every Sunday. Now, I know some of us have to wait tables on Sunday. Some of us got to go to work on Sunday. I know that things come up. There are some of us today who've got to leave here and go to a 1 o'clock business meeting. Some of us got to leave here today and go to a 2 o'clock graduation. Or maybe last week it was a 2 o'clock shower. Then I know all of us need to attend. I know all of us at one time or another have to look at our watch or worse, our phones. But I think the reason we have such a hard time giving worship on Sunday mornings it's due is because we spend the whole week doing what I think this grocer did, multitasking. Church, multitasking is killing us. It's killing us. I think that's what the grocer was doing. I think that's what we do. I think all of us are trying to do a multiple of things. We all multitask. How many of us this morning, while we drove, we texted on the way here? How many of us, while you are speaking with someone, will get your phone out and look at your phone while you're talking with them? Or when someone's trying to have lunch with you, you say, hold on a minute, and you get on your phone. I'm gonna share with you something in case you didn't know. Here's what we think. You know, at times I tell you, here's what we think about you. And those are not the times anybody likes, but I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But if you're one of these people who, while someone is speaking with you, you get your phone out and answer your phone, or you start to send a text. Now, maybe some of you get your phone out and they're telling you something, you want to write it down. I got that. But for some of us, while someone is talking, you get your phone out because either your phone just dinged, Facebook just updated you, somebody else uploaded some picture of some great-grandkid that you have to look at right now, or somebody texted you that you have to answer right now, or the phone rang and you want to look at. When you respond to your phone while sitting with someone else, here's what you're telling them. What you're telling them is that whatever this is more important than what you have to say. That's what you're saying. Now, you may not agree with that. You'll be wrong. If you're speaking with me and you and I are having a conversation and you pick up the phone when it rings, what you're saying is, whoever this is more important, Adam, than what you have to say. And I will give you one or two times. And then guess what? I ain't talking to you no more. I don't care what you have to say neither. I don't want to be around you anymore. I don't want to be in your presence anymore. Because you don't care about anything I have to say. You don't care about me at all. Do you see? Now, I don't think you meant to give me that message. Do you know why you gave me that message? Because you're multitasking. Because you're trying to do it all. Let me share with you why I think we do this and why I think it actually affects worship. If we go back to that text in Amos chapter 8, and I want to look at verses 4 through 7 one more time, I want you to notice what these people are saying while they're in worship. So, like, they're doing what y'all are doing, okay? Be here for Sunday morning worship. I guess to them it'd be like Saturday. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Let's read this again. Hear this. Those of you who trample the needy, you do away with the poor in the land. And you say, when's this new moon festival going to be over? So we can sell grain again. And the Sabbath can be ended. That we can market wheat so we can skimp on the measure and boost the price and cheat with dishonest scales. So we can buy the poor with silver and buy the needy with a pair of sandals. So we can sell even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob. He said, I will never forget anything they have done. Israel was trying to multitask. They're sitting in worship and they're thinking to themselves, what time are we going to get out so I can go to the store? What time are we going to get out so that I can go back to work? What time are we going to get out so I can get on with my life and do whatever I need to do to make money? They don't have their minds on God because they have filled it with too many things. I'm going to share with you why we do this. I'm going to share with you why we multitask. Again, you don't have to agree. Maybe you've got another reason. But here's why I think we do it. There's three of them. Some of us have a fear that we won't have enough if we don't multitask. So we won't have enough. It's not enough to do what you're doing. You have to do more. It's not enough to do whatever it is you need to do at home. You got to add to that. It's not enough to work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. You got to do even more than that. My friend just bought a boat. Nobody works more than this guy. I don't know anybody who works more than him. And he bought a boat. I said, what'd you buy the boat for? He said, to go on a boat. And I said, when are you going to do that? He said, I just have to find the time. Find the time. Anybody else ever use that phrase? I got to find the time. Where are you going to find it at? You got another place I don't know about? You getting other hours in the day than 24 hours? Anybody in here get more than 24 hours? If you got more, I would love to know where you're getting that from. Because the rest of us only got 24. We all got 24, don't we? We all get the same. You ain't getting it from nowhere else than I ain't getting it from. I know that in English, that didn't make sense. But you get what I'm saying, right? You're not getting it from anywhere that I did not obtain it from, okay? There's no more hours in the day. I got to find the time. No. Oh, how about this? I got to make time. Really, from what? You got some special ingredients. We're going to bake this up. We're going to bake time. You know why we say stuff like that? Because we treat time as if it's magic. Church, it ain't magic. You either got the time or you don't. I'll tell you a phrase we do need to realize. We waste time. We need to start saving time. We need to start managing time. Y'all notice I'm using money phrases. Waste. We spend it. We need to save it. We need to manage it. The reason God instituted this Sabbath economy is because he wanted people to consider things to be very important. And when you do them, you don't have to do anything else to have enough. You have enough. You did enough. Here's the second reason we multitask. Because we have this need that we have to produce more. We can't just do one job, two jobs, three jobs, five jobs. We got to do even more. Somehow we're not valuable enough if we didn't do anything. A line I tell a lot of people now is, you've done enough. You've done enough. Matter of fact, multitasking is getting some of us in trouble. Y'all know some people, they just talk too long. They don't talk too much. They talk too long. Some people talk, and it's almost as if they can't bear for there to be silence, so they have to fill that silence with this chatter. And you ever notice when they fill the silence, they get themselves in trouble? It would be better if you just shut up 2 seconds ago and leave that silence so that you wouldn't have said what you said. It's almost as if we have to produce more. Church, you ain't got to produce more. Sabbath economy. Say what you need to say and be quiet. Just be quiet. That is knowing what Sabbath means. Here's the last one. We multitask because some of us have anxiety that we're going to miss out. We're going to miss. That's why we answer that phone. We're going to miss out on what our second cousin in Arkansas posted about his kids. Do you really care what your second cousin posted in Arkansas about his kids? Then why are you having to answer it? Because you just can't stand to be missing out. Why is it so bad to miss out? Do you know that some of y'all's lives would be a lot better if you would have missed out on that headline? If you would have missed out on what they said? Some of us have such anxiety because of that second cousin in Arkansas. If you got a second cousin in Arkansas, I just made that up. You just happened to be, had to have the second cousin. Have you ever noticed that we have a lot of anxiety from things that we really shouldn't have had it from? But we couldn't help ourselves. We just had to look at that and do that. Church, multitasking has robbed us. And it's what's killing us in worship. We get in here and worship. We got to check the phone. We got to look off somewhere else. We got to think about what's going on. Are we going to get there, I guess, before the Lutherans do or before the Baptists do? Are we going to be able to get home? Do you know why we do that? Because we can't sit still at home, and we get here and we can't sit still. We can't do it. We struggle with it. I struggle. I'm with you. I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm talking to me. So how do we fix it? One, I think we need to realize how bad we have gotten ourselves in this pickle. We're leaving on vacation next week. Somebody said, what y'all going to do on vacation? So I'm not going to do anything. It's not what you got planned. And I thought, when did we get to be a people who had to plan on vacation? The idea of vacation and rest is that you didn't do anything. And somehow vacation is turned into whether or not you had a good vacation or not, right? Was your vacation good? Nope. Why wasn't it good? You didn't have to work, did you? You didn't have to be at home. You didn't have to take care of that. You got to go away and do that. I think we need to start thinking about why some of our time gets so ruined and actually start rethinking about how we approach time. I think we need to return to this Sabbath economy, and here's why. Some of you in here, a lot of men, I know some women too, but a lot of men, some of y'all like to relax with golf. I seen something, what you going to do? I'm going to play a lot of golf. I'm going to relax. When's the last time you relaxed on the golf course? Last time I relaxed on the golf course, I dropped $125 to play around with my friends. We bought food and something to drink, and by the eighth hole, I realized I am anything but relaxed, and where is my medicine? I thought this was supposed to be relaxing. Now, I didn't break my club on my knee, but I did break it around a tree. I wrapped that. It's the most satisfying moment of that whole golf game was when I literally wrapped the club around the tree. Oh, I hit it, I bent it, and then I made sure to keep wrapping it so I could show that tree in this club who's boss. Do I sound unstressed to you? And I went there to practice Sabbath, praise God. You know, what is going on with him? Why do we have to fill time with something? Or how about this? Some of us relax. A couple went to Florida. I asked him how it was. He said it was horrible. He said it rained the whole time. He said all we did was sit inside and play games with the kids. And I think when he said it, he knew, and his wife went. And I said, hey, man, when's the last time you sat inside and played games with the kids? He said, oh, it's been a while, but if we was going to do that, we could have done that from home. There's a lot to say about that statement, isn't there? How many of us have felt that? You know, if I could have just spent time with the kids and played games with them and just listened to them talk, if we could have had some time together, well, we could have just done that at home. So why didn't you? You notice we got on vacation, so we could not do what we were doing, and then we got mad because we couldn't keep doing whatever it is we were doing. Or this college student, I got to ask her, she just left to go home, and I talked to her on the phone, and I said, how's it going? She said, it's horrible. She said, I'm back here and with my parents, and I got no Wi-Fi. That's not her, but this is the face I'm thinking of as I'm talking to her on the phone. She calls me Pastor, forgive her. She said, Pastor, I can't watch any of my shows. I can't do anything but sit around with Mom and Dad. Some of us don't even realize what we're saying, do we? I said, when's the last time you got to see your parents? She said, Christmas. I said, you don't want to see them? She said, I want to see them. I'm happy to see them, but after a day or two, I'm ready to do something else. She's multitasking. Do you see it? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's killing us. We want to add to. We want to do. We got to be going. We have to do this. And I'd like for us to start working on Sunday mornings, practicing not multitasking. And I think when we practice it here, we'll do better out there. Or how about this? We'll practice it out there so that when you get in here, we're not trying to multitask either. I don't mean multitasking, eat a donut and drink coffee at the same time. That's not multitasking. Multitasking is getting here and not being able to focus on the God we're supposed to focus on. And the reason we do that is because we've lost our focus. So here's what I want us to do. And it's little baby steps, all right? I want us to start investing in losses. I want us to invest our time. Pick one thing this week you can invest your time in that you know is going to be a loss. You're not going to gain anything from doing it. Matter of fact, here's a good one. Watch paint dry. Watch grass grow. Ooh. You know, that's time you'll never get back. I know. But why don't we treat time as if it's something you can't get back? And just watch the grass grow. You know why you won't do that? Because I could be doing so many things. I know. But by doing so many things, you know how many things you really did? None. So just, you ain't got to do it all day. Some of you got to go work. I mean, you need to make money. We need contributions. So please go to work. I mean, we got that. But pick a moment and waste it. Invest in loss. You may think, well, that's not biblical. Rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, What do I got to do to get eternal life? I got to do something. Jesus said, well, we got to come. I done did all them. He didn't say I done did, but you know what he said. So I've done those. You know, love the Lord your God, honor your father and mother, don't steal, don't kill. Yeah. I did that. I did all those. What else I got to do? Multitask. What else I got to do? And Jesus said, oh, you one of those. Well, in your case, you need to do nothing. You concentrate on doing. I got to do this. I wrote everything down. I got to get that done. He got his phone out. You know, what else I got to do? Jesus says, do nothing. Matter of fact, get rid of it. You're adding to, here's what I want you to do, take away. You're adding so many things to your plate, I want you to sell everything you got, give it away, and we start to zero again. And the guy says, what? Can't do that. I done accumulated everything. You say, that's the problem. We're trying to do everything. Invest in a loss. Find it. Invest in something that you won't be rewarded for. Here's number two. Start concentrating on presents. I don't mean Christmas presents. I mean your presence, P-R-E. That one, the second one. You get up here, you get nervous, can't spell. Present, being with somebody, having presence with somebody. A lot of us are there with our families, but you're not there. You hearing them, but you ain't listening. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You seeing it, but you got this blank stare. Because you're thinking about whatever else you're thinking about. Presence is when we are able to actually be with someone. Here's how you practice this. When you're with somebody and you're listening to them, even if you, because some of you struggle to listen, I can tell. I'm talking to you and you can kind of tell when the lights go out. You're like, you know, you just left. It's okay, I do that too. And there's a lady here at church, I do that with her and she'll snap. And I want to say, don't snap at me. But I know why she's snapping, because Elvis has left the building. I don't know, you know, I don't look something else. We have to practice being with someone. So here's how you practice this. When the phone goes off, let it go off. But it might be, I know it might be, but whoever you're with deserves to feel as if they are important in your life. And if nobody in your life feels as if they are important, do you know how important you will be in their life? You won't. I'd like for us to practice being with people so that when we get to church, we can actually be at church and not just show up and be and leave. Here's the last one. I want us to enjoy it. I want us to enjoy something without adding to it. Okay? I want us to enjoy something without adding to it. Invest in a loss. Practice presence. Don't do something else. And whatever we choose to enjoy, don't add to it. Here's what I mean. If you want to start a garden, I think starting a garden is good. You should start a garden. But you can start a garden without buying matching gloves from Lowe's. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's like it's not enough that we have to do a garden. We got to get all the best stuff. I've seen people take up golf. I've seen them take up golf. I'm talking as if I'm an expert in golf. I'm not, obviously. The tree will testify to that. But I've seen people take up golf. You know what the first thing they do? They buy new clubs. Spend $1,000 buying a new club. You're just as horrible with them new clubs as you was with them old clubs. You're just as bad. And I know some of you disagree with that. You're wrong. Best thing for you to do is get some old clubs because you're going to wrap them around a tree anyway. So get good first. And even when you buy new clubs, you're probably not any better. You're not Tiger Woods. You're not. It's like we can't do something without adding to it. We can't go have a night out with friends without dropping $100 doing something. Kimberly and I, again, were talking about our parents used to have people over all the time. You know, growing up, my parents, I mean, we would have 10, 15, 20 people in the house. When's the last time we did that? You know why we don't do that now? Because we got to find something to, what? Do. We can't go hang out with friends, unless we drop $200 at Top Golf. We can't just go out with friends unless we go see a movie or something. When I was growing up, my parents would just have people over. They would play card games. I know it gives some of us the willies now that we would just come over and actually sit and talk. But these people sat around tables and they would just talk about their lives. And when they got to church on Sunday morning, they were happy to see each other because they knew more about the lives of one another. Do you know how much money they spent that night when they came over to my parents' house? I know they spent nothing because we didn't have nothing. There was no money to spend. But it just came over. How come we don't do that anymore? I'm not saying we all ought to learn how to play Rook. What I am saying is I think we ought to try to find a way to be with others and to serve God and to enjoy life without spending a fortune, without adding to it, and without finding ways to occupy our time. I think anybody in here can enjoy a great TV show without locking themselves in their room and binging 14 hours of it. I think we can learn how to do that. But it will mean we're going to have to start practicing a Sabbath rest. This morning, I would like for you to... I think most of the time the invitation is, you know, I want you to think about what you can do. I want you to think about what you need to do with your life. Or maybe you need to think about what God wants you to do. I don't know, whatever invitation we usually do. But when we talk about the invitation, here's what I would rather us do this morning. What can you not do? A lot of you already got plans today. It's Memorial Day weekend. You know, got to get fireworks. We got, I don't know, whatever else you got to do, I don't know. If you're going to buy fireworks, buy one less than you were planning on. Your fireworks show won't be any better or any worse. Matter of fact, you might want to think about just wasting money on fireworks to begin with, but no, that's you. If you're thinking about what you can do today, or what I need to have today, take one away. And today, whoever you're with, be with that person. And I promise you, they'll want to be with you too. This morning, whatever it is you have to do, let's think about not doing it as we stand and sing.